Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right, back on track to say the least. As the Brewers begin their farewell tour of the Coliseum, big one, back on track in a fun way today. They beat up on the Oakland A's 11-3. Standings check. The Phillies lost today to the Royals 7-4, so the Brewers are tied in record at 74-54. Of course, there's still one more series to play head-to-head. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. You may hear some noise in the background because I am live from the Coliseum as we get ready to say goodbye to it. Now, you may hear some chatter and some, you know, chaos behind me because one of the coolest traditions about this ballpark and about the Coliseum is for fireworks shows and for tonight drone shows, they actually allow their fans onto the field to watch these shows. So the outfield grass and the infield grass is all littered with green and gold fans here getting ready to watch a Pixar-themed drone show. So that'll be really, really cool. You'll hear that in the background, maybe some oohs and ahs as we get things going here tonight. And the big roars are because a young child is loose right now on the infield running behind home plate. They have it all stanchioned off to not allow anybody on the infield. And Clay Wood, the tremendous groundskeeper of this staff, just kind of laughing and letting the kid run. So that's pretty fun. And now security's going to come on in. But that's a fun little moment. Hey, everyone's in a good mood here in the Coliseum. I will have a lot to say about the Coliseum, all three of these games. For those of you who don't know, this is really the ballpark that I grew up in. I've spent so much time in this ballpark. My dad has spent 19 years as the broadcaster here for the A's, and I just love this ballpark so much, and I'll have some thoughts on that a little bit later on in the program. Tonight, even despite Aaron Civale only going four and really struggling, not having his best stuff, some sequencing that was really odd, the Brewers' offense showed up in a big way. And I thought the biggest way they showed up was despite allowing a leadoff home run in the bottom of the first inning by Civale, he managed to escape that first inning with the bases loaded and not allow anything else. And not only did the Brewers avoid the shutdown inning, they just kicked the door down with a five-run second inning highlighted by back-to-back jacks, another three-run homer for the Brewers, this time by Rhys Hoskins. He's a Sacramento kid just up the road, back-to-back with Ortiz right behind him on the very next pitch. That set the tone for the Brewers right off the bat to make it a 5-1 lead. And from there, Civale really settled down. He retired the next six in a row in just 20 pitches. So you thought, okay, he's righted the ship. He's found the breaking ball again. He's got things going in the right direction. And then the Brewers added two more runs thanks to some poor defense by the A's in the fourth inning and also from an RBI double from Jackson Chourio. He is so good. And the Brewers just kind of hitting cruise control once Civale got out of the fourth inning, only allowing two runs there. They'll be the last two runs that the A's would score. In fact, they would only manage two more hits. One of them was a bunt hit. One of them was a single that was quickly erased on a fielder's choice. The Brewers bullpen, as advertised today, they had the final five innings of the contest. Brian Hudson, six up, six down. No big deal for him. Yoel Piamps had a bunt single and an error, but then got picked up by Sal Frelick on an outfield assist, who had a great game defensively. Yoel Piamps had the seventh inning. Mentioned that. McGill had the eighth. He back on track with the strikeout as well. And then finally, it was Joe Ross just throwing one inning. He's an Oakland native, too, from down the road, Bishop O'Dowd High School, 4 miles away here from the Oakland Coliseum. So the Brewers responding and avoiding that shutdown inning is the story to me of finding a way to get this done despite a slow start from Aaron Civale and that sort of thing. 855-616-1620 if you're up late with us here tonight. This is a fun weekend for me. We will be post-game today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And mind you, back to normal times over the weekend, given that the Brewers are going to be, you know, it's day games here at the Coliseum. So 3 o'clock starts the next 2 days back in Central Time. So that shouldn't be a big deal. We'll also have Brewers warm-up starting at 2 o'clock. And the cheers, because the lights just went out, we're getting ready to watch the drone show here at the Coliseum. So a lot of fun here at the ballpark, getting ready to go. We're just getting started with Brewers postgame here on Brewers Extra Innings. Again, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can text in, you can tweet in at Dom_Catronio. Come hang out with us tonight. Stay up late. Brewers After Dark continues after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
The lights are out. The drones are about to fly here at the Coliseum. You know, there were 15,000 or so here at the ballpark tonight. One of my favorite things about the Coliseum, it always sounds louder than the number that you see on the attendance. So I'm a little distracted watching these drones, but you hear John Fogerty playing in the background. We're talking about a fun Brewers win today. 11-3 the final today. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Want to remind you, though, that Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Brewers win 11-3. Let's get the Aaron Civale conversation out of the way, and then we start talking about the highlights and the fun stuff from this game, too. Civale's first inning, two pitches into the game to be down 1-0. The first ever leadoff home run from Lawrence Butler, who we've warned you about the Brewers, or about the A's, I should say, coming into this series for the last week or so. The A's are hot. The A's and the Brewers came into this with the exact same record in the second half. They are both very good teams, right now anyway, in the microcosm of this current stretch. But when you come to Oakland, it's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to adjust. You know, you hear a lot about the crowds and the sight lines and the marine layer and that sort of thing. And you're also dealing with the fact that this team hits. Like, Lawrence Butler hits. The A's hit homers. The A's have more homers than the Brewers on the season. And the fact that, boom, the scouting report comes true two pitches into the game, Lawrence Butler, who's had an incredible last 2 months, hits a solo home run. So you're thinking, okay, how are you going to respond to that? Well, respond in the worst way possible. He gets a walk to Brent Rooker. Got Blade to pop out, but then Andujar, a clean single in the right field on a two-strike pitch. He recovers to strike out Langoliers on a slider, which was the first breaking ball he threw in the game. Then Seth Brown walks on a nine-pitch battle, again refusing to throw a breaking ball. And then finally he got Zach Gilloff to break his bat and fly out to left field. And he finally got into a groove using the breaking ball, trusting the curveball, trying to find some new tools to get him through. I had a long conversation today, actually, with Chris Hook of the Brewers pitching coach. And just, like, how hard is it when, look, this guy's been successful in the big leagues, Aaron Civale's been, with a certain method and what he's tried to learn from two very smart organizations in Cleveland and Tampa, what kind of a pupil he has here where it's like, look, pitchers don't want to change easily, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you were made expendable for a reason. The Brewers feel there's something they can change with him. One of the things that Chris Hook was telling me is that they feel his curveball should be better, and that one of the things that maybe has hurt him is such an emphasis on movement with his sweeper. The Brewers just want it to be an effective pitch, not necessarily a pitch that has to break around the world. It's something that the Brewers use to say, like, hey, you know, let's just clean this up a little bit, and it'll help multiple pitches. And I think he just is still learning to trust those breaking balls, which is why we didn't see many in that first inning. And it was one of the things that was really good against the Guardians in his last start. And so, look, grips and how you feel with the pitch can be fickle. They can change literally from game to game. And new environment, there are things that go into this. So I'm going to look out for that in the next start for Civale, because I was really hoping this was going to be sort of a, hey, can you make it stick kind of start? Because he had that great revenge game last week against the Guardians. Sorry, this drone show is pretty sweet, guys. This is awesome. They got Lightning McQueen up there right now, or they got Tom Mater up there now, too. This is awesome. This is really cool. Anyway, Civale talking about the last start that he had against the Guards, but even that, he worked into the seventh inning against the Reds. And I know what you may be thinking, well, Dom, those are kind of two lesser opponents, like, and you're not wrong, but he did his job against them. And like I warned you, the A's hit homers. The A's are up here swinging. He kept the ball in the yard for the most part the last two games, and other than the leadoff home run, he kept the ball in the yard today. But the problem, of course, is four walks. You just can't have four walks against the Oakland A's. You're flirting with danger. It felt like the bases were loaded the whole game. Really difficult and to get length in that regard. I was having some conversations with some folks. Just, you know, the Brewers, if they're in a wild card series, you're only going to need three starters. And you would just load up your bullpen for that. You don't necessarily need Savali or Wilson or Ross in that bullpen. You could bring Eloy Paredes back. You could bring Mizorowski up. You could bring even a guy like Aaron Ashby up, who I tweeted about earlier tonight. But the Brewers are trying to figure out if they move on to a DS, let's say. Let's say right now the three in any particular order is Ray, Freddie, and Tobias. And you're trying to figure out if you go three games in a wild card series, who's going to be that fourth guy to start game one of a DS, which, you know, is it going to be Savali? Is it going to be Montas? Is it going to be a combination of Ross and Koenig and an opener and that sort of thing? So these last few starts, because there's a month left in the season, which is really like five or six more starts, especially for a guy at the back of the rotation, it's going to be harder for him to get back on track and try to see what he's going to be getting out of these last few starts, because I don't see him going to the bullpen for the Brewers. They have too many weapons there that they know can get the job done there, as opposed to moving a guy there in the final month of the year. So I'm looking for Savali to just kind of stick it. You know, it's just like you're going to throw a really difficult trick if we're using a gymnastics analogy here. Go stick it, man. Go prove it to me that you can be that fourth guy. Because also, the Brewers are excited to work with him for a full extra year of control. And I think that's something to remember in all this, too. He is depth. He is going to be helpful. And I feel the Brewers are very excited about what they can do with him, because they rave about his work ethic and what he's able to do behind the scenes and how much he wants to learn from this team. So let's not cast judgment just from these first, what is it, seven starts or so from the Brewers. Eight starts now. It hasn't been pretty, but it hasn't been god-awful. So let's let that bloom and let that flower grow a little bit. Let's just keep adding some water and add some fertilizer and see what he's going to come with for the rest of the season. So he obviously gets a no decision, only going four innings today, but the bullpen was great. And mind you, they have an off day coming up on Monday, so they might be a little more aggressive than you may imagine from their bullpen here coming up. So that's our Aaron Savali conversation. Now let's finally shift gears to the offense. And let's spend the next few segments talking about the offense, with how great it was tonight. 11 runs. El Gary hit a triple. There's so much to talk about. I'll get to these texts as well if you're staying up late with us tonight. 855-616-1620. I see you guys on here. Jerry, Ringo, I'll get to y'all here as well. Stay with us, WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
If you're watching on YouTube, I'm a little dark because we're in the middle of this drone show. Look, as somebody who grew up on Pixar, like, this is amazing. And I've been lucky enough to... Oh, they got the A's logo up there now, too. And their victory song is Celebrate Cool in the Gang. Nothing to celebrate tonight, thanks to the Brewers' offense. They win 11-3. I love this place, man. I'll have a rant about the Coliseum a little bit later on here in the program. But really cool drone show. Let me get to these texts as we start talking about the offense in this segment. We're going to the top of the hour here, up late with the Brewers. Ringo and Goodman. Hey, Dom, glad you got to go to Oakland one last time. Just wanted to thank the crew at this point chasing the Phillies. Since July 13th, the Brewers have only lost a half game to the Dodgers and the tiebreaker, but have gained 8.5 games on the Phillies. 34 to go and 3 left with Philadelphia. Like we said at the top of the program, the Phillies lost tonight to the Royals. The Brewers got some help yesterday. The Braves beating the Phillies once again. The Brewers will see them in mid-September back in Milwaukee. And the Brewers need to sweep that series in order to win the season series. The way that they would win that season series is because they'll have the divisional record. And now the drone show is concluding. So everyone's headed to the exits and things are going to come back to normal here shortly. But that's a good call there, Ringo. All eyes on the Phillies at this point. And oh, by the way, there's this guy Shohei Ohtani on the Dodgers who just completed the fastest 40-40 season in baseball history with a walk-off grand slam tonight. So I think they're about to hit their stride and really take off now that they're all finally healthy. I think it's all eyes on the Phillies down the road here. This one from the 608, this one from Jerry in the Dells. For 55 years, since I was 11 years old, I've been a diehard fan and hope for a Brewers championship like the Packers of the 70s and the 80s. Did I give up? Hell no! It's the journey, dang it! And this journey's been great, just saying. I agree. I mean, no one remembers the easy seasons. No one remembers, you know, the, oh, yeah, we were expected to win and won 115 games and went all the way. Like, no one does that. Those aren't the memorable ones, to say the least. And this one really makes me happy. From the 414, why is Jackson Churio not getting more national recognition for Rookie of the Year? All Skeens and Merrill. Churio has been crucial for the Brewers since Yelich has been out. Honestly, with Skeens getting starts getting skipped now, I'm struggling. I don't have a vote. And, like, I'll do a whole video special on what I think of all this stuff. But, look, Jackson Merrill's playing every day. He's playing out of position. He's playing on a playoff contender. Those are certainly valid and good things. Jackson Churio is doing the same thing, playing left field, playing in the big leagues. He's made the adjustment. He's playing every day. He's on his longest consecutive games played streak of his young career. You're right. Churio is starting to get more love. And, quite frankly, this is going to be an interesting month because both him and Merrill are very much firmly in this race to figure out who it's going to be. But at the same time, Churio winning a division, if he can get this average up near Merrill, I mean, they are neck and neck right now, honestly. Merrill has the advantage defensively, which is what's going to hurt Churio in the long run. If it was up to me at the end of the day today, it would probably still go to Merrill, but I think Churio would get top three. And keep in mind, the Brewers do not get the draft pick compensation or the bonus or the arbitration the year of service time. They don't have to worry about any of that because Jackson Churio got paid. So it's not a service time thing. It's not a sort of what are you going to have with him. You don't have to worry about anything like that when it comes to Jackson Churio. The Brewers' offense tonight was simply fantastic. To talk about Churio, he had a two-strike RBI double as well. The Brewers, looking at what their offense did, everybody had a hit. Everybody scored a run. They had a couple of home runs, of course, too, with the back-to-back shots from Reese and from Joey. But, shoot, the only other extra base hits were a Sal Frelick bloop double, Churio lined a double, and then the L. Gary triple out of nowhere. I mean, Gary Sanchez did something no other Brewer has done this season. And that's get an extra base hit that wasn't a grand slam with the bases loaded. Tonight looked like the sort of relentless attack that we're used to the Brewers. A lot of balls in play, a lot of confident swings, a lot of long counts as well. How many pitches did the A's throw today, man? I mean, Sears threw 90 pitches, not even getting out of the fourth. Stripling threw 68 in relief, and he still had some pretty tidy innings in four and a third innings of work. So that's 158 pitches right there. Then throwing another 32 from Danny Jimenez, that's 190 pitches over nine innings of work. The Brewers were making the A's sweat today. They drew four walks. They had eight strikeouts. They were not swinging and missing all that much. They made this tough on the A's. And games like this really get you excited for what this offense actually is capable of, where, look, this is the new normal. No Yelich. Don't act like he's going to be walking in the door. And the fact that William Contreras was the last guy to get a hit today, and it was an infield hit up the third base line, is a good sign, honestly. Yes, William's been the hottest hitter on the team and maybe in baseball, aside from Aaron Judge, in the month of August. And he's the only guy that would looked quote-unquote human tonight. And the Brewers have some luxury here in that they've got a balanced lineup. There's not a guy that's necessarily going to be hitting 350 or, going nuts with their offense and that sort of thing. But they have pop. It hasn't been super consistent this year, but Boom Hoskins gets the 21. If he can have a final hot month of the season or so, he can find a way to 30. There's no reason to believe that he can't get to 30. Willie can get to 30. He broke a little schneid tonight. Maybe even Ortiz can get to 15 and have a great year. So the Brewers, these balanced attacks excite me more than having one guy having a big game, right? Because this is what you hope it looks like in the postseason. When you're looking at this offense, Churio, two hits. Perkins, two hits coming off the IL. Sanchez, two hits. Ortiz, two hits and a homer. Frelick, two hits. That's this relentless offense that we talk about that can be sustainable. You've heard me, if you've listened the last couple of seasons, talk about sustainable offense. Not sustainable offense is when you're hitting 450 with runners in scoring position or hitting four homers a game. This was not an example of that. This is an example of, okay, you're getting a pop here and there. Cool, back-to-back shots. You manufactured runs. You drew some walks. That's the kind of offense that the Brewers want to produce for the rest of this season. So I really love what we saw there. The player of the game poll is up on my Twitter right now as well, @Dom_Catronio. A couple of tweets that come in here, too. A write-in saying, Sal, 2-for-4, including a double, and a very good night defensively. Joey Ortiz, this one from Alex, going back-to-back after a three-run home run from Hoskins. And then also, give it to Gary, just because that was hilarious to watch when he hit the triple into right center field, and the A's sort of misplayed it as well. But Reese is leading the way on that poll with 60% of the vote. Again, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. We'll talk about a little bit of this rest of this series. I want to talk a little bit about the Coliseum. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later. We'll also have highlights here on the program, too. Brewers get a big win, 11-3 in Game 1 over the A's as they're, you know, more than halfway through this road trip. Vibes are good here in the Bay Area. We'll talk with more about this coming up after the break on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Barry.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
There we go. Cool in the Gang from our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Petronio. I heard this song a lot growing up. There were some great A's teams on this field. We'll talk about that a little bit later in this segment. 855-616-1620. If you're still up late with us tonight, past the midnight hour, back in the Central Time Zone. The good news is, this is the only night you got to stay up late with us, as we're day games the next 2 days. 3 o'clock first pitches the next 2 days here at the Coliseum Central Time. We're on the air at 2 o'clock with Brewers warm-up, and they've got the rotation set up kind of how they want to. Code Red, Colin Ray gets the ball tomorrow, and then Frankie Montas back in his old stomping grounds. Had some really good years here with the Oakland A's in this ballpark. Talked to him a little bit about that today. He goes on Sunday, then an off day Monday. Really quick homestand. Just quick 3 games against the San Francisco Giants Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then they got to go play 4 games in 3 days in Cincinnati. A really quick road trip to come right back home for a very important 7-game homestand, in which the Brewers will be playing the Cardinals, 6-game homestand, Cardinals and the Rockies. You know, they can, this is your last series with the Cardinals, and the Rockies are the Rockies, so can try to create some space there before the Brewers head back west one last time. And that's a little peek at the upcoming schedule here for the crew, with them being even with the Phillies. And if you want to, you know, look ahead here at what Phillies got going on for what their upcoming schedule looks like, the Phillies are going to continue with the Royals, who have been sneaky great all season long. We've talked about them a lot. The Brewers obviously lost a series in Kansas City earlier in the year, but it doesn't get any easier for them. They get Kansas City this weekend. They host the Houston Astros next week, midweek. Then they host the Atlanta Braves for a 4-game set. Quick 2-gamer with the Blue Jays. Then they go back down south to the Miami Marlins. So that's 4 games that they could take. Tampa Bay is always pesky. The Mets are always pesky. And then the Brewers see the Phils once again. So, I mean, there's an opportunity there where the Brewers, while they're facing these A's, while they're facing the Giants, who are in it, the Reds, who are not in it, and then the Cardinals and the Rockies, who are not in it, at the same time, the Phillies are facing tough teams, the Astros and the Braves and the Rays and the Mets. So the Brewers have an opportunity before the next time they see the Phillies to try to be in a position to try to snag this second wild card, or sorry, second seed, I should say, not in the wild card. If the season ended today, of course, technically, the Brewers do not have the tiebreaker against the Phillies, so it would go to them, which would mean the Brewers would be playing the Atlanta Braves, who won again today. They have suddenly caught fire here. They've won 8 of their last 11 games. They're 2.5 games clear of the New York Mets right now for that last wild card spot. San Francisco has fallen back to a 500 team. San Francisco's back down to 65-65. They just lost to the Mariners in the first game of the Dan Wilson era up there as their new manager with the M's. Arizona is now a half game ahead of the Padres as they've won 4 in a row now. The Padres lost yesterday, won today. They're now 73-57. So things are going to get very tight down the stretch between those two teams to keep an eye on who the Brewers are going to be playing. So we're here at the Coliseum, and I'll talk about this more the next couple of days here on the program too, but one of the things that jumps out to me about the Coliseum, and like I said, I've grown up here, I love this place, I just love the charm and sort of the quirks that the Coliseum has, the bullpen mounds being on the field, and the amount of foul territory because of the multi-purpose, and Mount Davis, as much of a monstrosity as it is, it's a tourist destination. You know, the whole team was going up there to take photos. Devin Williams was up there, and I saw Jeff go up there. A few of our guys went up there during this day. And it's just talking to guys in the clubhouse who either have never been here before, maybe it was their 30th ballpark finally getting checked off the list. And I was talking to Bryce Wilson. He's like, man, there is so much history in here. It really is a shame because I like this place. I really do. And I just chatted about it with him. Bryce Terang felt the same way. It's just like when you realize and you see all those names, because the retired numbers or the honored numbers are on the tarps on Mount Davis, and you see those names, 9, Reggie Jackson, 24, Ricky Henderson, 43, Dennis Eckersley, 34, Raleigh Fingers, Brewers, 34, Dave Stewart, Smoke, I mean, come on, 27, Catfish Hunter. I mean, this is baseball royalty here at the Coliseum that these A's, you know, fans have to unfortunately say goodbye to, which just really makes me sad. And quite frankly, I'm really excited that this young Brewers team got a chance to be here. To say that they played on this field, that those legends of the game also played on this field. And today, Pat Murphy was waxing poetic about going to see Sal Bando Jr. in Milwaukee, and he also got to see Craig Counsell for the first time on that recruiting trip in 1988. And, of course, Sal Bando is maybe the most intertwined Brewer and A between these two franchises that don't have a lot of crisscross. And then you think of Raleigh in 82, and you think of Raleigh here with the A's and those incredible 70s teams, 72, 73, 74, then winning three straight AL pennants in 88, 89, and 90. This ballpark has so much history, and I'm just so sad to see it leave our world. And I'm just going to enjoy these next 2 days as much as I can. And I tell you, I'm leaving here with something. I'm promising you that. I'm going to leave here with something. The Brewers get the win 11-3. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. 11-3, the final. Fun one here at the ballpark on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Hey. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. For this month only, Sider is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment before it's too late. You only got a few more days. That's Sider, Seider.com. Pat Murphy has a lot of connections at this ballpark. You'll hear some of those connections and some of those stories tomorrow on Brewers Warm-Up on the air at 2 o'clock Central Time here on WTMJ. But here he is talking about an 11-3 win today with the media. Small media contingent here at the Coliseum, but here's what he had to say.
Second inning, what did you see from the approach and the at-bats?
Yeah, I think the kid probably didn't make the selections he wanted to, but you can see why he's really, really good. I mean, he's got great stuff, and the fastball's got some jump on it. I think that one inning he just missed some spots, whatever. But credit our guys too. We were ready to hit, and Hoskins big blow in the first, and then everybody kind of piled on after that. It was great. Sanchez had a big game, and Adames might not have got a bunch of hits, but his walks, Churio, Ortiz with a big hit. The whole lineup over time did a good job throughout the game, and we kind of stayed on it. Stripling came in, was really good against us. But we kind of stayed on it and played a complete game.
Reese has been in a tough stretch at the plate lately. So for him to deliver that big blow, a three-run homer, I mean, you know this is what he's capable of.
Right.
But for him to deliver that spot.
If you think of his at-bats lately, he hit three balls over 100 miles an hour right at the third baseman in St. Louis. Then he comes back the next day, hits another hard ball in the backhand at the shortstop and gets thrown out. You know, like, so he's hitting the ball hard. He just couldn't come up with anything. And, but to see him swing in batting practice today was great. And to see him hit with confidence tonight might really ignite us.
That second inning, how contagious is hitting when you have many players just going one by one?
Well, I mean, I think it helps when the guy in front of you swinging the bat. You want to keep up with him. But I think... you know, it comes down to swinging at the right pitches. You know what I mean? You have to. Nobody can hit balls. You know what I mean? It's too hard. So it's not just the contagious part. It's getting another pitch to hit and being ready for that pitch. You know, so when everybody's doing that, it feels really good, and it reminds everybody, yeah, that's what he's doing. I got to do that. You know, so. So I guess your point is
Contreras was the odd man out, and then finally got the hit in the ninth, so everybody got a hit today.
Well, he's our leading hitter, so and has our maybe our most important job of the position players. He's caught, you know, 90% of our games. So it's okay. He's gonna be able to feed his family for a while.
Merv, what about Savali and how he bounced back after that long first inning?
Yeah, I'm proud of him. You know, it shows the experience of him and the wherewithal to be able to get four innings. You know, he didn't have his good stuff. He wasn't finding the plate early. He was behind the count over and over. And to just bob and weave and get through four, that was important, especially the last two hitters he got out. I mean, ball trickled out of his glove, or he would have turned two there and been out with just one run or maybe two runs. But ball kicked away. He still made a great play. And then, he then got that last out, which was huge against a really good hitter. So, you don't have your best stuff every night. You can't find the plate the way you want to, but he bobbed and weaved, and that's what a winning pitcher does, is even when you don't have it, you give your team some outs. So.
Hudson came in and gave you two real nice innings. I'm assuming they gave him the win.
I don't track that, but
yeah. You track Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been great for us. He's got a stiff neck, and we didn't know if he could pitch or not, but we're really happy for him that he could come in, and he was very efficient also. You know, Hudson, you know, all the relievers were special. That's five innings of really good relief.
Brian Hudson, and that's a little bit of breaking news with the neck issue. I know he's been kind of laboring. His velo was actually a little bit down today, so that sort of makes sense. And now, I mean, he's off for the next 3 days, given he's not going to pitch after throwing two ups the last 2 days, or these next 2 days, and then there's an off day on Monday. So he gets a little bit of a breather here, and the Brewers got a lot of bullpen work. They'll look for some length out of Code Red tomorrow. Let's relive it coming up next with some highlights from an 11-3 win for the Brewers over the Oakland A's on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this? This.
Get up!
And this.
Get out of here!
Go! Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and A's, game one of a rare series here at the Coliseum for the Brewers. They haven't been here since 2019, and it's kind of been a tough opponent for the Brewers. They're just 1-9 in their last 10 games against the Oakland A's. Different story tonight, but it could have been different given a leadoff homer was hit by Lawrence Butler of the A's, and then they loaded the bases in the bottom of the first but could not add on from there. The Brewers, not only did they respond, they just kicked the door down. They got the first 2 men aboard in the bottom of this, or the top of the second inning. A single from Adames, a single from Gary. Then it was Reese Hoskins with two strikes on him.
1-2 pitch is a high fly ball deep left field, and Duhar back, track, bye-bye baseball! Reese Hoskins, a three-run shot, and the Brewers on top, it's 3-1.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ for Reese. He's never played here as a big leaguer. He's from up the road in Sacramento. No time to celebrate. The very next pitch.
This is driven out to left center field. Poked really well. Blade's back. Track. Back to back. Ortiz with his ninth of the year. It's a solo shot, and the Brewers up 4-1.
Incredible stuff from Tito. Fourth time this year, the Brewers go back-to-back, their first time in 2 weeks or so since that crazy game they had in Atlanta. They weren't done in the inning as well. The rally resumed with an Andrew Monasterio two-strike base hit. Frelick popped out, but then it was Jackson Churio creating chaos, putting the ball in play.
First pitch to him, and Jackson lines one into left center field. Monasterio turning second, and now it's misplayed by Andujar. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Monasterio around third. He will score. Churio stopping at second, and the Brewers lead it 5-1.
Well, he didn't get an RBI on that swing. Well, he made sure to make his mark in the fourth inning with a man on second base. Sal Frelick had a bloop double with two outs and two strikes, and Churio made him pay.
0-2 on Jackson. Sears throws. Drilled into left center field. That one plugging the gap all the way to the wall. It hits midway up the top of the fence. Around third and scoring, Frelick to second base safely is Churio with a foot first slide. Back-to-back doubles. Jackson's got another hit, and the Brewers have another run.
Josh Maurer on the call made it 6-1 at the time, and they still weren't done. And Cheerio in the middle of it all again in this fourth inning. Blake Perkins back in the lineup today, hitting second.
Ground ball back through the middle. Perkins, tough backhanded play by the second baseman Geloff. He tried a jump throw. He never got the throw off, but the ball fluttered out of his hand. It caroms into left field, and that will allow the runner Cheerio to score all the way from second base. It'll be an infield hit for Perkins, and you'll have to give Geloff an error. Brewers score on an error for the second time. They lead it 7-1.
And they still weren't done. Now the A's got a couple of runs against Aaron Civale. He only went four innings, but the bullpen was locking them down. They only allowed two hits as a unit from the Brewers' bullpen today. Gary Sanchez did something no Brewer has done this year, have an extra base hit with the bases loaded. That wasn't a grand slam, but it wasn't the extra base hit you were expecting.
1-1. Fly ball, center field. This is well struck. Blade on the run, reaching out. He won't get there. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Perkins is in. Around third is Contreras. He will score. Right behind him is Adames. Sanchez slides into third. Bases clearing, triple for Gary. And the Brewers lead it 10-3.
Gary Sanchez with his third career triple. That put this one out of reach. He would score on a sacrifice fly. That made it 11-3, which was our final score tonight. So the Brewers take game one. They snapped a little back-to-back skid they were in, losing the series to St. Louis. Off on the right foot here in Oakland. We'll preview tomorrow and say goodnight. Brewers After Dark wraps up after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Last couple texts that rolled in here late night with us here on WTMJ. I'm Dominic Catronio. Doug texting in. This was worth staying up for. I really want Perkins to be in the lineup more. He deserves it. And Ortiz is a top five rookie to me. I mean, we were talking about Ortiz in May. Like, he's legitimately a rookie of the year and an all-star candidate. Obviously, he had that big slump in June dealing with his neck issue. But he's certainly starting to turn it back on as of late. And I got to ask him about the specs. And I don't know if the guys described it here on WTMJ, but it's got some new specs. I got to ask him about that for... I mean, they're like clear specs, but there's a little tint to it. So we got to get to the bottom of that. He did not have those in St. Louis. Doug also added in, I remember... the A's of the early 70s. The Brewers were so bad, and Oakland was my team. Loved the Flash. Absolutely good call there, Doug. Appreciate your texting. Again, tomorrow, we're on the air at 2. Next 2 days, 2 o'clock airtime for Brewers warm-up with yours truly. Then on the air with the on-deck show starting at the bottom of the hour at 2:35. First pitch coming at 3:05 here from the Coliseum. You might want to stay near social media tomorrow. There might be some news dropping about yours truly, but I'll still be with you for pre and post game tomorrow and on Sunday, and then the off day Monday, and then I will not be on the air on Tuesday, of course, given it's my off days on Tuesday. So that's going to be it for us here at the Coliseum, just the first of three. Good to be here at the Coliseum. It's going to be bittersweet to say goodbye over these next 2 days, but Brewers got one dub. Let's see if they can go for another and get another series win. They are tied for the 2 seed right now. Still plenty of baseball to go. It's going to get real fast. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson, for running the board for us tonight, back and staying up late in Milwaukee. I'm Dom Catronio. Good night from the Coliseum, and until next time, keep on swinging.